Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, a very pleasant good evening, everybody. Welcome to the show. Hope you had a great Memorial Day. And final show of the year. We go on summer break after tonight, and we will be back in August. About the time we get back in August, we'll be staring at Miami and Notre Dame football. But a big show lined up here tonight. University of Miami basketball coach Jay Lucas going to join us here momentarily. Hurricanes baseball team into the NCAA tournament. J.D. Arteaga on the show here tonight as well. My broadcast partner, Don Bailey Jr., joins us in just a little bit to talk football. Wicho Hernandez, also my television broadcast partner, will talk a little Hurricanes baseball. That's coming up later on in the show as well. We are with you tonight until 7:30, leading you into hockey. Dallas and Edmonton, game four of the Western Conference Finals. We'll have that for you tonight here on QAM. Okay, as I mentioned, final show of this year, and then back in August, and a great way to wrap things up. We are delighted to have with us new University of Miami basketball coach Jay Lucas is with us. Coach, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing great. Good evening. How are you doing?
Couldn't be better, Coach. Thank you. And I don't know, have you slept at all since you got this job? You've been reshaping and remodeling University of Miami basketball over the last couple of months.
I don't think I'll ever sleep until we win a national championship. So that's the goal. That's the plan. But no, it's been a good couple of months, and I've enjoyed my time down there so far.
Maybe let's start with you had to basically when you, I guess, in July or August, when everybody gets here, you'll have an entirely new team. So let's start with your thought process, because it was a clean slate, clean chalkboard. Update us a little bit on what your roster looks like and how you put it together.
Yeah, you know, for me, and taking the job, and especially in this day and age of college basketball, I came in envisioning I was going to need a whole new team. So I kind of prepared myself for it with just the way that, you know, the portal is, the market is, and all those things. And, you know, the one thing that I have always kind of hung my hat on as a coach and felt comfortable being able to do is really buy into the defensive end, be able to teach it, be able to communicate it, to be able to explain it. So I at least wanted to kind of target people that kind of fit that mold for me. And I think the staff and myself did a good job of finding some guys that fit that mold, but both also mixing, you know, youth and some experience together. Along with size, positional size was a big key for us as well. So I think we did a really good job of kind of putting it all together.
I thought the size part was really interesting because in the league, in the ACC, I think especially on the perimeter, traditionally there's a lot of size. And it seems to me that you are going to put out there a big team no matter what the combination is.
Yeah, that was important for me. Being in the league the last couple of years, I've kind of got a good feel for what it looks like and what I feel can be successful in the league. And I thought positional size is one thing that will really help us right away. But also, if you look at the landscape of college basketball and the teams who were in the Final Four and the ones that won really big this year, they had size everywhere, especially in the interior as well. So making sure I checked those boxes was very important for me.
You also have players that are familiar with either South Florida or the state of Florida. Why do you think that was important to you? And why was it important to those players to come to the University of Miami to be able to either come home or play in the state?
Well, it was important first because, you know, it's a different day and age. Usually you recruit guys and you expect them to stay for 4 years. Now you're recruiting guys who've already been to multiple universities. So how do you get them to buy into something, take pride in something? And one way I've really found that, because I experienced myself playing for my home state, is you get people from where the university is and they take a little bit more pride because they're playing in front of their parents, grandparents, family, friends. So that makes them want to compete and win a little bit harder when you see those people every night. So I wanted to kind of exploit that a little bit with this first class, but also moving forward. So I really wanted to get people from the state of Florida, from South Florida, if we could. And then also it gives the fans somebody to cheer for because there's some familiarity with the players and where they went to school or the area of South Florida or Florida that they're from. They have some type of connection. Makes them want to come watch them and come watch them play.
I also think it's interesting that our state has become more of a basketball area. I mean, they were for a long time had the reputation, yeah, Florida's all about football. Obviously, we got a champion, national champion. It's hard for me to say that, the Gators. But nonetheless, yeah. The state seems to be in a good place in terms of basketball recruits and kids wanting to play basketball.
Yeah, it is. I think a big part of that was just the revolution that LeBron James brought when he came to the Heat. Some of these kids were just starting and now they wanted to kind of play basketball and you've seen it carry on. And there's been a run here in the last couple of years with some really good players. And moving forward, there's a good run. That was one of the things that made the job so appealing as well, because you look at these younger classes, you have some really good players in the state moving forward too. So I think it's the right time to be in basketball in Florida, and it's the right time to be in basketball at the University of Miami.
Coach Jay Lucas is with us on our show. You also, I guess, have almost completed your staff, or maybe have completed your staff. It looks like you had a great mix of assistant coaches and putting your staff together. What were you looking for in putting together your assistant coaches?
I really wanted everybody to be some type of part of me, I guess is the best way to put it. So I tried to do the staff that way. I hired two former head coaches, which was important for me with this being my first head coaching job. I wanted some people who have at least done it before. I hired some people from the area as well, with Charlton Young and Eric Pastrana. And then also wanted to hire somebody with a strong high school background as well as a grassroots background. I was able to do that with Andrew Moran, who was the head coach at Columbus the last couple of years. And those were some of the things that were important to me. And then also moving forward with this new day and age, I wanted to kind of start a front office as well. So I hired somebody that was in the front office for the Houston Rockets, LJ Rose. He's also the general manager of the Bahamian national team. So he has ties to FIBA and international like recruiting and scouting as well. So I wanted to make sure we covered all our spots. And I have one more position that I look to fill here in the next coming weeks.
University of Miami, I think, is for a head coach coming in. I think this is such a unique place, South Florida. Not only the University of Miami, which has had its share of Hall of Fame coaches in all sports, whether it was Howard Schnellenberger or Jimmy Johnson, a great tradition of football and basketball coaches. But this city, you know, you mentioned the Heat, and you've got Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley. And this just has been a place where it's been a place where great coaches have thrived, have come here and made something in all sports, whether it's college or at the professional level.
Yeah, it is. You know, it's one of those destinations that no one has a problem coming to. But, you know, the one thing that I really found out about Miami being down here the last couple of years, getting the recruiting stuff, is what I consider the real Miami. That's for the people who actually live here and are from here, and getting over this, I guess, on this side of town, you know, over here, kind of South Miami, and understanding the culture and the love that people have for the city. Because it's home and where it's from, not because of South Beach and all this other stuff, has really, really made me fall in love with Miami and wanted it to be somewhere I wanted to come to.
Yeah, well, I'm a native also, Coach. Born and raised here.
Okay. All right.
Born and raised. Interesting times in that you're going to have a whole new team. How do you and your staff impose your will when it comes down to the nitty gritty, the X's and the O's, putting a style in? Is this an era in college sports now where eventually everything's going to be kind of universal because players are moving around so much? How do you get everybody on the same wavelength?
That's going to be the hardest part of the job moving forward, because usually you have people that can kind of carry the culture for multiple years that they're here as juniors and seniors and kind of pass it down. So, you know, that is going to be the hardest part of the job for me and the staff. But, you know, we'll use the summer to really try to get as connected as possible with some of the stuff we're doing this summer with the team and when everybody gets here. But that will be the biggest task and the biggest part, because it's just so much new. So how do we become a team as quick as possible? Now, it won't happen right away, but hopefully by the time we get into February and March, we can be a little bit closer to that.
I guess the same thing would be in terms of trying to build the culture that you want. Maybe some of that comes most likely, obviously, from you and your staff, but then there has to be a certain buy-in, right, from all of your players or at least the leaders of your team.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I've always said that best teams are player-driven and coach-directed. You know, as a coaching staff, we're having to do both. It's not in a good place. So just empowering them and making them feel like it's collaborative and not like a dictatorship, for lack of a better word, but making them feel like they have ownership and empowerment in it and that we're doing it collectively is the best ways that I've seen it come together as quick as possible.
University of Miami head basketball coach Jay Lucas is our guest. Have you had any time at all to kind of examine what's going on in the league, to keep an eye on what the competition is doing and how that's going to shape up during the course of the year?
Yeah, I have. And I think the ACC this year has done a really good job. All the teams around the league got a lot better. And, you know, the one thing that's been not sad, but we've just kind of been underappreciated these last couple of years with getting teams in the tournament and stuff. And I think a big part of it is just it's been a reset in the league. You know, you've had your Hall of Fame coaches like Roy Williams, Coach K, Bayheim, Leonard Hamilton, You know, you've had all these Mike Bray, you've had all these guys retire, and there was always going to be, it was inevitable, it was always going to be a kind of change of guard. And I think that's kind of happened now, and I think the trajectory for the league is headed in the right direction with some of the new coaches and the new rosters that they were able to put together this year.
And you, before we wrap it up, we are in this new era. I think you mentioned a couple of weeks ago, everything you know about college basketball, forget about it. It's kind of completely changed. How and why did you embrace this new era of college basketball, really college athletics, because it seems like you're a really good fit for it?
Yeah, you know, one of my main staples that I always say is adapt or die. You know what I mean? So this is where we are. This is what it is. So how can we be the best at it? And, you know, the benefit of being, I would guess, say, younger in age, this was kind of the part of college basketball I've grown up in. And we always knew it was coming. And the last 5 years, I've been able to attack it and be able to be around it at a really high level and see the inner workings and how everything has to come together in this new day and age. And it is a lot different than anything that it has been before. And I think that's why you also have seen so many giants in the game retire, because everything they have loved about the game, everything they did for their whole career is completely different. But this is just the beginning of my career, and my goal is how can I be the best at it, and how can I put the University of Miami in the best situation to be competitive every year at it.
It's been a quick couple of months for you. What will the summer months look like? Are you allowed? I guess you're allowed to bring your team in here at some point, right, and have some summer workouts. What will the summer look like as you go get ready to go into the fall?
Yeah, all the guys get in June 9th, and we start summer school and workouts June 15th, and we'll go, you know, through the beginning of August. So, you know, we'll have this summer to really get to know each other, to really get to understand what we're about at the University of Miami, but also what we want to look like, and just really, you know, really nail home the standard that we're going to compete and play at every day and every time we're in the gym. So that'd be the big thing this summer, is to kind of just get our foundation together and get our base offense, base defense. And then when we come back in the fall, is to really start to put together, you know, what we'll look like going into the season and getting ready for November.
All right, Coach. Thank you for making an appearance here on the Hurricane Hotline. Greatly appreciate it. Look forward to working with you this fall and into the winter. And again, welcome to the University of Miami, and thanks for being with us on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me. I can't wait. I'm excited to be a part of the community.
All right, that's University of Miami head basketball coach Jay Lucas here on our show. And should be a lot of fun. He's put together pretty good roster so far. Lots of size, athleticism, probably play a lot of different styles. So we look forward to that. Still to come, J.D. Arteaga will be with us. We'll talk Hurricanes baseball. They'll open up the regional in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. They'll take on Alabama Friday at 3 o'clock. Still to come, Don Bailey Jr. joins us next. We'll talk about football, what's going to happen there when we come back in August. Wicho Hernandez also with us as well. And as I mentioned, J.D. Arteaga in the 7 o'clock hour. Summertime knocking on the door. We had the first big summer.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country. And the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Holiday, and you know what that means? Summer savings. Williamson Cadillac is the place to go. You want savings, you want great service, you want a new Cadillac, no place better than Williamson Cadillac. Stop by and see Ed Williamson, his lovely wife Carol, Jermaine Chambers, great former University of Miami player there as well, to help out Reggie on the scene. Reggie takes care of everything. The general manager is Jeff Rogers, and when it comes to customer experience, nobody does it better than Williamson Cadillac. That's why Ed Williamson has been in business now for over 50 years. You can't stay in business anywhere alongside South Florida for 50 years if you don't know your customers, if you can't make your customers friends and family. And that's what has happened at Williamson Cadillac. So go in today, experience Williamson Cadillac, everything they have to offer. And of course, new automobiles are arriving every single day. The CT4, the CT5, the XT5, the XT6, the all-new electric Lyriq. They've got them all. If you want to get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle, you want great customer service, the place to go is Williamson Cadillac, your luxury dealership located on US 1 just south of the Palmetto. Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Attention sports enthusiasts, keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play, no purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games, offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore, from action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire. The fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, joining me now on the show, broadcast partner on football here on the show, Don Bailey Jr. And our last show of this season back in August. We take the summer off, so we will be back in August. And when we come back in August, Notre Dame will be knocking on the door. August 31st, of course, first game there. And when we come back, I think our number one storyline is going to be Carson Beck. So I guess the question will be the expectations of Carson Beck.
The expectations are through the roof, and I understand it. Miami did a phenomenal job last year going out the portal and getting Cam Ward, and he came in and led Miami and with Coach Dawson and to the number one offense in America. He ended up being the first pick in the National Football League draft, and Carson Beck comes in actually with a bit of a better resume in the sense of he was a blue chip coming out of high school, had multiple years at Georgia, saw championships being won there, was a part of that. And then his 2 years of a starter really put up some great numbers. Now, he had some struggles with the interception last year, but if you look at it close, you realize, Joe, that there was the receivers weren't the same as they were the year before, nor was the tight end position. So, you know, there's some question marks as far as that goes, but I think that this season, at least in the beginning, will start will fall on the shoulders of Carson Beck, as it should. And it doesn't matter really who it is. If you're going to have a great season, you better have great play from your quarterback, no matter what level you're at or no matter what team you're with.
The offensive line seems like, okay, that's taken care of. The wide receiver position, I think, is going to be intriguing. If you look at it, there's a lot of depth, and I could maybe make the argument there's more talent at wide receiver going into this season than in the past. However, the difference is they just haven't really played. Either A, they haven't played, or B, haven't played for Miami.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I think one of the things that Cam Ward utilized last year was spring practice. And he had those 20 practices with the receivers and then numerous, countless individual workouts with those guys. And that's what's going to happen quick. The chemistry is going to have to be built quick with this receiving core and Carson Beck. They're going to have to work overtime on it. They're going to have to build the relationships that are needed to have a great passing game. You look at that room, and there's an assortment of talent, different size and speed. But the thing that's common is relatively no experience at the University of Miami at the receiver spot. And that's going to be a very important part of training camp. It's going to be an important part of the preseason. And they've just got to build that chemistry. Fortunately for Miami, you opened up with the offensive line, and Miami's going to have the ability to run the football. And that's going to be the best friend of this passing game, is to be, if they can depend on their run game and have success at it, then the passing game doesn't have to be elaborate early on. I think as time goes by and everybody builds the chemistry that's needed for a great air attack, that Miami's going to lean heavily on the run game. And really, that's how they've built it.
The other side of the ball, a rebuilt University of Miami defense, new defensive coordinator, a bunch of new defensive coaches. So a rebuilt Miami defense, and the expectations there are that that should take a pretty good leap.
It should, Joe. And, you know, you've got Coach Heatherman, who spent a couple years with Greg Schiano, and you and I both have had spent a lot of time with him when he was at the University of Miami and had a chance to see his defense in the bowl game a couple years ago. And if you're a defensive coordinator for a defensive coordinator head coach, you've got to be pretty darn special. And the intensity that I've seen infused into the defensive side of the ball during spring practice has been very impressive. Coach Heatherman is an unbelievable instructor and depends heavily on detail, but nothing is very complicated. There's a rhyme and a reason for every move, and there's an answer for everything that the offense does. So it's not overwhelming as far as academically, but there is a ton of expectations on tackling, taking away the football, and pursuit.
They took away a Rutgers Greg Schiano player, Muhammad Touré. We saw him play a couple years ago at Yankee Stadium. That season for Rutgers, he had, I think he had 150 tackles or something. I thought he was better than any linebacker Miami had, but he's had some injury problems. But hopefully he'll be healthy and be a guy that can solidify the linebacking position.
Well, I think one thing that's important is if he is healthy, he's going to be one of the most important pieces on that defense, because he played for Coach Heatherman for 2 years, and again for Schiano, as you mentioned, but he understands how to translate the defense to the existing players. It's one thing to get it from the coach, and it's another thing to get it from a player that's in your room. So the linebacking core will have a tutor, so to speak, with him, and his ability to say, well, this is what he means. This is what he really means. This is what he wants. And it helps to have that assistant player in the room that can really clarify things, but more importantly, to set an example and execute the expectations of Coach Heatherman.
Okay, when we come back in a couple of weeks, the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame will be in the on-deck circle. And they'll need a new quarterback. They've always had a great offensive line. They expect to be good on defense. They've got a new defensive coordinator. Their passing game was suspect last year, but they got two great running backs. And you can already see that storyline kind of developing for Miami and Notre Dame.
Yeah, what a great opportunity for both universities. I mean, to open up basically the college football season, Miami versus Notre Dame at Hard Rock, and especially after – you know, the 2017, I guess it was, game where Miami really put it on them at night there with Coach Rick. And there'll be a lot to talk about. It'll be very hyped up, and it'll be a giant game for both programs. I mean, it will just set the stage. The good news is, no matter how you come out of this, it'll set the stage for you, but also there's plenty of time to recover. So you look at this football contest that's going to right around the corner here, Joe, and it'll be a full house. It'll be a game that everybody in the country will be tuned into.
Okay, my summer is going to be filled with wedding plans. Your summer with Priscilla, you're going where?
Well, we're cycling in Europe, Joe. I really don't get an itinerary until I'm on the plane. It's a need to know basis. I can tell you, I've been getting myself in shape for it, but I'll be chasing her on up and down the hillside somewhere in Europe.
Good luck on that. And when we come back, it'll be time for Hurricanes football. Don Bailey Jr. With us. All right, DBJ, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Joseph. Have a good summer now.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
All right, joining us on the show now, my television broadcast partner from ACC Network Extra, former University of Miami Hurricane, Huicho Hernandez, University of Miami, on to the NCAA tournament, second year under J.D. Arteaga. They reached the NCAA tournament. They will open up on Friday against Alabama, 41-16 Crimson Tide, 16-14 conference record. We'll get to that matchup in just a little bit. But for the University of Miami, their 50th NCAA tournament, obviously expectations are always very high for the University of Miami, but in his second year as the manager, as the skipper, as the caretaker of the program, JD takes them into the NCAA tournament. So that has to be significant, I think, for him and progress for the program.
Yeah, no doubt, Joe. I think, you know, I'll start by saying Hurricane fans, Hurricane alumni, the local community, everyone expects and holds this program at the highest of standards. So despite the Hurricanes making it back to the Field of 64, you know, it's there's no doubt progress. There's no doubt it's going in the right direction. But, you know, it's not, I don't think a lot of people are celebrating because they're like, hey, wait a minute, this is a program that expectation, minimum expectation was always get to Omaha, and that's how this program was judged. Now, that being said, JD did take over a program last year. A lot of players left that team. A lot of players got drafted. He had a couple guys transfer. And by the time he got the job, it was late. There wasn't really a lot he could have done to change last year's team. So he did the best he could. He went out to his credit and his staff's credit and really loaded up and changed things around. And they went from a team that didn't even, you know, play 500 baseball last year to a team that, you know, was, you know, 8-9 games, whatever it was, over 500 this year, and make it to the regional. So I do think from a caretaker of the program, as you mentioned, they're definitely going in the right direction. Are they where anyone wants them to be today? No, of course not. But, you know, you can't the days of dominance are it's tough now. It's a different game, especially with the portal and NIL. And I'm very proud of what JD did this year. And I think, again, they're definitely heading in the right direction.
They were propelled into this tournament by a month of April and part of May, where over about a 20-game period, they went 15-5, including 10 straight wins inside the ACC. Now, did not finish very strong, lost six of their last seven, but that month and a half that they played really good baseball is why they're in this tournament.
Yeah, no doubt. And you and I were fortunate enough to cover most of those games in the ACC when they played at home, and we saw a different type of team. You know, the team we saw to start the season, you know, weren't getting the key hits. Cuvée started the season as a normal college player. He only hit over 300 slightly and had a few home runs only, not much. And then he caught fire and he became the Cuvée that we all know and finished with an incredible year once again. But to me, the big change was the rotation, the starting rotation. They put the two freshmen in the rotation. They were definitely a big change. And then Waters going back to the closer role was a huge, huge way to finish games for the Hurricanes. So that carried them. I mean, that stretch was as good as any stretch by any team this year. And, you know, as it proved, that was good enough to get them to the tournament because that's what got them in.
I had a stretch week, Joe. You talk about University of Miami history. For me, I had a stretch of 26 years of doing regionals on the radio. Now, we don't follow them on the radio play-by-play anymore, but 26 years of regionals. And what has taught me is that anything is possible in these regionals. The University of Miami had some good teams get knocked out. They had some teams that came together at the right time. Also, through the years, regional play has changed. Now, we have regionals and we have super regionals. We have the World Series and a double elimination tournament in the World Series, then best two out of three. It's harder than ever to claim the championship. That being said, Miami goes into this thing against an Alabama team that is not much more different than Miami, 16-14 in conference play. Starting pitching earned run average is well over five, hit 91 home runs. The starting pitchers, doesn't look like there's a dominant starting pitcher for them. So to me, it looks like a fairly even matchup for Miami.
Yeah, they do match up well. And I do think when you look at Miami and where they landed, if you had to pick the first round, I like their chances in the first round. I mean, they're matched up well against everyone they're potentially going to face. But that first match against Alabama, obviously the Alabama's record, they won over 40 games. So this is a team, regardless of what they did in the SEC, you know, just slightly over 500, they obviously proved they know how to win games. And you go back to Miami this year, they had their struggles just winning games, especially early on where they lost, you know, some midweek games to teams that they should have beaten. So to Alabama's credit, they've done that. You know, you win 40-plus games, you're winning a lot of games. Obviously, 16-14, the SEC, as you just mentioned, not the best record, but the SEC is also considered, if not the premier conference, one of the premier conferences alongside with the ACC. So it should be fun. I think ACC, SEC matchup to start the regional, JD's first regional trip. It should be a lot of excitement on Friday.
And you got to imagine, Hugis gets to start against Alabama. He's been Miami's number one starter all year. And the one thing about Hugis is you know that he's going to give you a great fight. Now, it'd be important for him to get off to a great start. We saw that in his second, the last start in the ACC tournament. He got a rocky outing against Cal. He's had plenty of time to rest, but he's got to give him a great start.
Yeah, and you're right. Down the stretch, he had a couple of rocky outings. But Hugis, no doubt in my mind, gets the start against Alabama. As you mentioned, had been the ace throughout the season. I think for him, you know, he's got good stuff on the mound. And when I say for him, I'd probably for the staff, I felt this year that they gave up too many base hits with 0-2, 1-2 counts. You got to hit on 0-2, 1-2. You got to find a way to bury them. And for whatever reason, this staff had a hard time this year. At least it felt like that to me as covering the games. When they got 0-2, 1-2, saw a lot of two-strike base hits. And then the second thing is, you got two outs in an inning. You got to close that inning out. You got to find a way to, you know, shut it down. And a lot of times we saw those two-out walks or two-out hit batter, you know, find a way to come around and score a run. And those are the two things, I think, from a pitching staff standpoint. If they can clean that up, they'll have a pretty good shot.
You understand the history of this program as well as anybody. It's very good that Miami is back in the NCAA tournament. I think it's good for college baseball. We know what the expectations are. And one of the reasons the expectations are so high is because over the last 50 years, things that the University of Miami has accomplished, if you really dig down into it and see the things that Miami accomplished in 50 years, for example, 5 years in a row of College World Series trips, or 13 straight wins in tournament play, or 10 years of 60-plus wins, whatever each little synopsis might be, the things they have accomplished over the years, I put my money on this. No other school is going to be able to do it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. This baseball program, I would say, had one of the best historical runs of any sport. And I remember, you know, a few years back, I was invited to this first pitch banquet at UM. I want to say it was for the 2018 team. And during that banquet, I did some research on, hey, just how good is this program? And I know the history. I played. I'm part of the history. I was completely amazed at the run that this program went on from that 82 year all the way to Coach Morse and his success, and the frequency of visits to Omaha. I mean, this is a program that just absolute tear for so long. And that's kind of what you're fighting against now, right? You were so good for so long that it almost became an expectation. It became boring. And look, I'm a fan as well as you are. Like, I'm the first one that'll say, hey, if they don't get to Omaha, what's the big deal? Like, Omaha is kind of where you got to be. So I think that's what we're up against. But you're right, Joe. This is you go back at any sport, and very few programs have had the run that this baseball program had, starting with Frazier and, of course, into Coach Morris.
All right, we'll see what happens Friday. Canes play Alabama, 3 o'clock, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Miami in the Hattiesburg Regional will take on the Crimson Tide of Alabama. As always, we show great having you on the show. Thank you very much, and we'll be talking.
Thank you, Joe, and go Canes.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, J.D. Arteaga joins us in about 5 minutes or so as we discuss University of Miami baseball. Coming up at 7:30, we have hockey, Edmonton and Dallas, game 4 of the Western Conference Finals. Edmonton leads that series 2-1. Tomorrow on the station, we'll have Panther hockey against Carolina. Panthers preview begins at 7:30. On Friday, the University of Miami baseball team will take on Alabama at the NCAA Regionals in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. If you take a look at some of Miami's numbers, the history of the University of Miami in the postseason, they've won 71% of their regional games 132-54. In super regional games, 18-11. In super regional games at home, Miami's 14-2. They've never lost a super regional series at home. Hurricanes in the College World Series, 48-42. How about by coach? Jim Morris in the postseason won 66% of his games, 104-52. Ron Frazier won 65%, 86-45. So a new era. J.D. Arteaga begins his postseason on Friday against Alabama. We'll talk to him about that. We'll see how that shakes out for the University of Miami. Hurricanes in Alabama have some postseason history. They played a couple times in the College World Series, and they've crossed paths not too often, but let's see. Miami, how about this? Miami and Alabama, they will be meeting for the 16th time. Miami holds an 8-7 lead. They played in Tallahassee, played them 85 in the regular season. The first time, I did all three of those games. In 1985, the first game we played against Alabama was in Dothan, Alabama. And I'll never forget it because Sonny Hirsch and I did the play-by-play from the top of what we called a bomb bunker. It was just some, it wasn't even a press box, just like a bunker of some kind off the roof along the first base side, Dothan, Alabama. I don't know why they played in Dothan. I don't remember. But Miami won 14-10. Then they lost the next game in Tuscaloosa. Lost the next two games, but went on to win the College World Series. So all was well. Miami and Alabama have played in Omaha 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 times. So now meeting in the postseason on Friday. But I swear to you, I remember the game in Dothan, Alabama, 1985. I don't even know how we got the phone lines to the location where we were. You never know in this business after 40 years where you were going to broadcast the game from. At any rate, plenty of time to reminisce. J.D. Arteaga will be joining the show when we come back as we continue on the Hurricane Hotline.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Okay, welcome back to the show. Delighted that you are with us. Thanks to Jay Lucas joining us in our number one. Joining us now, University of Miami baseball coach J.D. Arteaga. Coach, thanks for being with us, and congrats into the NCAA tournament, year number two, and you got the team back into the postseason. So a sign of progress in your program.
Thank you, Joe. Yeah, it's nice to be playing baseball in early June again, and not where we want to be yet, but definitely heading in the right direction.
What was the reaction like for your guys when you saw your name go up there on the board that you were into the tournament?
You know, it was great. It was, to be honest, my favorite part of the whole thing is watching their reaction. You know, they put in a lot of hard work, a lot of time, a lot of everything, you know, and it's such a good group, such a close group. I've never had a group this close before, and to watch them celebrate and you know, looks on their face. And a lot of those guys, it's their first time. A lot of transfers, a lot of freshmen that have never been in the NCAA tournament. So it was exciting to watch their reaction, how happy they were.
It is the NCAA tournament. It's a long grind. For whoever goes all the way, it's 4 more weeks of baseball. So it's a long grind. Winning the College World Series, I think, is more difficult than ever before. But once you get this far, one of the 64, it means you're playing for a national championship. You're playing for the right to become a champion.
Yeah, there's only 64 teams in the country that have a chance to do that now, you know. So, and whether we're the, you know, the first team in or the last team in, it doesn't really matter. I know a few years back, you know, Ole Miss came to our regional, and they were a team that supposedly was the last team in the field, and they got hot at the right time and won the whole thing. So, it's usually not the best team, but it's the hottest team and a team that just plays the best baseball this time of year. So Hopefully we can show up in Hattiesburg and put our best foot forward and see how many games we can win and move on to the next round.
You've been a part of a lot of University of Miami regional baseball tournaments. Take us through your thought process on what do you think are some of the things that have to happen in order to have success in the regionals?
Well, you know, first of all, the first two games. You win the first two games, you're kind of in the driver's seat, and it forces somebody to have to beat you twice that last, you know, Sunday night and then on to Monday if needed. So as far as, you know, pitching is concerned, obviously staying in that winner's bracket is a big advantage. But other than that, it's you know, timely hitting and good defense and good pitching and that's what wins ball games, you know. So everything's got to come together. We've shown that we can do that. We put a good stretch there where we won, you know, quite a good number of games, and even when we weren't going great, you know, we showed that we can beat some of the best teams in the country and the best pitchers in the country, you know. And so this team has the ability to beat anybody.
Yeah, your team, I know it was a tough finish, but in April and May you played as well as anybody in the country. How do you rebottle that?
You know, if I had the answer, then we would have continued to play that type of baseball. You know, it's just baseball's a funny game, man. And now more than ever, the parity in college baseball is like nothing you've ever seen before. You've got, you know, the number one and two preseason ranked teams are not even in the field of 64. So that goes to show you that you know, in this sport, in this game, anything could happen. Anybody could beat anybody. And again, the parity is at the highest level it's ever been.
This regional has Southern Miss, which caught me by surprise. Columbia, who I think was in the University of Miami regional like 2015 or somewhere in that period. I think we played them for the championship. And then, of course, Alabama. I guess maybe dive into Alabama a little bit. Well, what do you know about the Crimson Tide, a 41-16 record, 16-14 in conference play? Their pitching staff, earn run average over 5, hit 91 home runs. What are your thoughts on the Crimson Tide?
It's a typical SEC team. It's some, you know, big physical players. They can do some damage at the plate. They can have some power arms. They're going to throw some power arms at you, and a lot of them. So it's, you know, it's all across the board. And Southern Miss is very similar in the way they're built. It's just a physical team, physical lineup. That with a lot of dangerous hitters, you know, you can't really relax as a pitcher. Once you relax, that's when you're going to get hurt. So, but it's, again, at this time of year, it doesn't matter who you're playing. The name of the jersey doesn't matter. The colors don't matter. Cause either a really talented team or you're playing a really good baseball and you're hot. So it doesn't matter. It's just about winning the next game.
I do think there are probably some similarities between you and Alabama. One would be, you're able to play a shortened game with Walters coming out of the bullpen, and so are they. They've got a kid named Carson Osmer who's appeared in 28 games, and he has 17 saves. So it appears they have someone that can slam the door late, as do you.
Yeah, it's you know, that's I've always said, and I learned this from Coach Morris. You know, I would trade two starters for a shutdown closer. You know, that shutdown closer is going to win or lose every close game for you. And a starter is going to give you a chance to win every time, you know, once a week when he pitches, when he takes the ball. So there's so much value in that bullpen. And when we were going really good, our bullpen was going really good. So there's no surprise there as to what part of what our success was. So they got a great closer. He's a little different than ours. This stuff it's not an overpowering pitcher, but he's a really, really good pitcher. And he gets a lot of swings and misses and commands the strike zone. And obviously, it's tough to beat, and getting those last three outs of a game is those are the hardest three outs. There's nothing like it, and he's had a lot of success doing that. And but like you said, we've got one of our own that's been really good here as of late.
I want to talk to you about Hugis in a moment, but you do have the two freshmen, Siskar and Darius, that went into the starting rotation. What kind of influence did your pitching coach, Laz Gutierrez, have over those two freshmen? It's the decision you guys made to go in that route. How did Laz handle those guys, and what was his influence on them?
Well, he's done a great job with those guys. And usually when it comes to freshmen, it's not the physical development. It's more the mental development. And that's probably Laz's strength above any. So both guys have great stuff, great arms, as do most of our freshmen. That's why they're here. But as far as the mental development and the ability to handle big games and the big innings and minimize, you know, innings, that's the biggest thing for freshmen and young players. So Laz has done a great job with those guys there. And he's done such a good job with Siskar that he's actually starting game one of the regional. So with us, he's the best matchup against Alabama, and we're trying to win one game at a time. And so we're going with Siskar in game one.
Okay, so you are going to go with Siskar. Yeah, he's pitched well. And will you go with Ugas in game two, or wait to see what the matchup is?
Well, we'll wait and see what happens there. You know, just don't know. I remember one year we were at Nebraska, where Nebraska was the number one seed, and they lost to Manhattan the first game, and then they lost to I believe Columbia the second game, and we ended up never playing Columbia or Nebraska. San Francisco, you're right. So we never played Nebraska, and we kept holding our number one, which is Scott Main at the time, and Scott Main ended up throwing the third game of the tournament against San Francisco to advance to a super region at Ole Miss. So you don't know. All we're preparing for right now is the first game, and our best matchup is Siskar, and that's what we're going with.
Yeah, that was that's funny to go down memory lane. We had to go out there twice. One year we went out to Lincoln for the super regional, and Jabba Chamberlain pitched against Ryan Braun. And the next year went out there for the regional and never played Nebraska.
Yeah, it was crazy. I remember they played the first game of the tournament. They kind of did it backwards, and we're sitting in our hotel room, and they got beat by Manhattan, which Manhattan had a great left-handed pitcher that year that came close to beating us. It was a tough game in Miami. I remember he beat Tulane, which is Tulane was in the top of college baseball at the time, and he went over there and beat Nebraska. So they beat him that first game. So we always threw off in the regional. So we threw our number two, and then they got beat by San Francisco in the loser's bracket game. So we threw our number three that night against Manhattan, and then I guess San Francisco came back to the championship round, and we had our number one, Scott Main, going. So, we never played Nebraska.
What has made Siskar so reliable for you this year? He's got a beautiful strikeout to walk ratio, 56-14, 5-1. The other thing about Siskar, I'm almost answering the question for you, but the thing I noticed about Siskar is the games he's pitched, whether he's got the decision or not, he has put your team in a position to win.
He has. And, you know, there's something about some guys that the team just plays better behind. For whatever reason, we've been playing well on those Saturdays when he's pitching. So, but he does a good job of working fast. He throws strikes. He gets a lot of ground balls. He keeps the defense active. It's nothing worse than playing behind someone that's going deep into counts and walking guys and kind of lulls you to sleep. And then you expect to make a great play after not, you know, getting a ground ball for a while. But he just keeps the game moving. There's great tempo to him, and there's a certain naiveness about him that, you know, the situation, the moment never gets too big for him. And he just goes out and performs and does his thing, and he's been great.
Offensively, obviously, Cuvée's had a great season, 76 RBI, 16 home runs. Really, I thought was one of the guys responsible for helping you turn things around. What do you need from him this weekend? Obviously, he's going to be a point of emphasis for the opponent.
Yeah, and he always has been. I mean, you're not going to hide him in the lineup anywhere after the year he had as a freshman. So, but yeah, you're right. When we got going, it wasn't just our bullpen or our defense, but, you know, he got hot. And when your best player gets hot, you're usually going to win some games. So, but also need guys around him to swing the bat. You know, Ogden getting on base and Goblin getting on base ahead of him, and you know, Dorian protecting him behind him. And not your prototypical four-hole hitter. But you got to be scary enough where they have to consider pitching to Cuvée. And, you know, we get Williams back this week as well as Hudson. They're not 100% yet. Everything's kind of day-to-day for now, but it's looking pretty promising that one of those guys, if not both, will be back in the lineup on Friday.
Now, you read my mind. I was just going to ask you if you had any update on Derek Williams. With the time of his injury, was your leading hitter at the time of his injury, I think also was leading the club in home runs. He had 8 at the time. Of course, Cuvée finishes with 16. But if he can get back into the lineup, certainly that's a big boost for you.
A huge boost for us. You know, it's and again, it's another right-handed bat to add to the middle of the lineup there. But you're right. He was leading our team in every offensive category. And he was hitting better in ACC play than he was against, you know, the out-of-conference opponents that we had early on. So Again, he's not 100%, but I feel pretty good that he'll be back in the lineup. And obviously, I got a sore spot in my memory bank. Some, you know, a guy coming in off of the hamate bone injury and doing damage in the postseason, and Warren Morris in '96 for LSU. So we'll go for some a repeat there with him. He gets hot and carries us a long way.
Right. Take us through the way you have managed Brian Walters in his career. Came in, under the in the shadow of his brother, suffered through the injury. You handled him very well, I thought, last year, took care of him, started this year, now the closer. Walk us through how you've been able to manage Brian Walters and how important he's going to be this weekend.
He's been through a lot. He's a very emotional kid, kind of wears his emotions on his sleeve. So you know exactly what he's thinking. It's just the exact opposite of his brother, Andrew. But he's been through a lot. Like you said, he came here with the expectation or the hope or the excitement of being a teammate with his brother for the first time ever, I believe, just because of the age difference. And he gets cut short with an injury, and then his brother goes off and signs and is off in pro ball. And he has a pretty good year for us last year, battling back from the Tommy John surgery, knowing that he was going to have surgery at the end of the season to a nerve transplant with just an irritated nerve. Not a big deal, but it is surgery, and it's going to take some time. Knowing that, you go out and pitch once a weekend, and then coming back this season and starting the season as a starter, and then now moving to the bullpen and then the closer. And talk about, being in your brother's shadows. He's taken over a role that probably better than anyone in Miami history. His brother was one of the best closers ever. Now he's our closer. So he's been through a lot. He's handled it very well. I love the kid, and he's just a great teammate, great person. And whatever you ask him to do, he does it with a smile on his face and give you his best effort. So we need him as well as the other 26 guys, in the roster to just play their best baseball this right now.
You mentioned the togetherness of your team. How rewarding is this tournament for those guys, and how important is it to have a good clubhouse like that?
You can't win without a good clubhouse. I've never seen a team that's a dysfunctional team that doesn't get along, doesn't like each other, have success on the field. So I think it's very important. We actually, this time of year, you have to cut down to 27 players in the roster, but we decided we're taking everybody on this trip. I think it's our strength is in numbers. It's within the group. It's not one player or certain handful of talented players. Our strength is in the group. So we decided to take everybody. Now, only 27 can play and can be in the active roster, but everybody's going to be in the dugout, all 33 guys. So I felt it was important. The administration financially backed us and has taken everybody. So I'm grateful for that. But I just think this team's special, and they should be all be together this time.
That's always the hard part of coaching, right? Telling guys you're not going to make it, especially this time of the year.
Yeah, this time of the year, and then you got guys that are going to be part of our future. You think of Nick Roberts. He was a freshman last year, didn't get experience at the NCAA tournament. Now he's a sophomore. He's had surgery, and to leave him behind and then expect him to come back next year and be a big part of this team, I think there's a lot of value in him just being there. And he's not going to pitch. He's not going to play or anything, but just being there and experiencing is going to help him out for next year.
No, I agree with that. I mean, there was a time, I think it was Jimmy Johnson used to say, I'm going to bring my quarterbacks with me, even if they're redshirting, because I want them to stand on the sidelines in the opponent's stadium so that they get a feel for what that's like. I mean, you can play at home at the Orange Bowl. That's comfortable. What's uncomfortable is on the road, so they would travel quarterback so they would get a good feel for what they're going to face one day.
Yeah, there's no way to replicate that in practice. You could have all the speakers, all the music, and whatever you want, but there's nothing like the real thing, So I just think it's important. And again, this team, I just want them all together.
Southern Miss is the host of this thing. Did you have a chance to dive into Southern Miss, and what was the key behind their success this year? It's not like, Southern Miss is known for their great baseball year after year.
No, but they have been lately. I mean, they've got a really good program, and they've done a great job lately. And they've been kind of knocking on the door there that to hosting, and they've been a two seed for a few years in a row now. But they're a team that's built like an SEC team, and it's a big physical team. They got some power arms. They might not be as deep as some of the SEC teams, but they're built the same way. So, from my understanding, it's a great environment, a tough environment to play in, but it's a fun environment. It's great fans, and you know, I know for us, it's me personally, I love playing in that type of environment. So, hopefully, our guys feed off of that, and it's going to be it's a crazy crowd, but it's a lot of fun.
Players, they love tournament ball. This is what they're raised on, as opposed to maybe, I don't know, guys 20, 25 years ago. But kids today, this is all they do, right? In high school and travel ball is that they play tournaments. So you might have to play two games in one day. Your backs could be against the wall. You could be in the loser's bracket, whatever the case might be. But for the most part, kids today have a lot of experience in tournament ball.
They do, and that's how they play nowadays, you know. And we probably should have played all our freshmen that first game in the ACC tournament, playing at 9 a.m. start time. They're used to that 8 a.m. start times in those high school tournaments, so probably should have played all our freshmen, and they might have been awake for that one. But yeah, it's just look, it's tournament time. It's win or go home. It's you throw out all those, you know, all the cliches, you know. But the reality is, it's win or go home, and you know, these guys. I know they want to play as many baseball games as they can, and that means we've got to continue to win and continue to advance.
When you and your staff, if you had a chance, overall, and you looked at the tournament, the bracket, did anything in particular jump out at you guys? Maybe the number of SEC hosting what caught me a little bit by surprise was UCLA on the West Coast hosting. It's kind of interesting. It's old-time college baseball. UCLA is hosting, and Arizona State is in their regional. But the SEC gets a lot of host spots. Virginia got left out. Anything? UConn got left out, a team that you played earlier this year, made a super regional a year ago. Anything to you and your staff jump out?
To me, the biggest one was Georgia Tech, probably. You know, I mean, you win the regular season ACC championship and you don't host, I think there's something wrong with that. I mean, and they don't get to pick, as Virginia, right? They don't get to pick their ACC schedule. It's a rotation, and so it wasn't. They might have not played all the toughest of teams, but still, you win the regular season championship, and you're the one seed in the tournament, and you get to the semifinals. I think that team should always be a host. So, other than that, I'm just glad we're in it. We'd be asking Virginia the same question, but we'd probably be out. So I'm just glad that we're in it and looking forward to playing some baseball.
Yeah. Well, I think it's what'd you take away from year two as the caretaker of the University of Miami? A couple of things maybe that will help you going forward into the future seasons.
No, honestly, no surprises. I mean, I know what the expectations are here and this is just, you know, we just kind of cracking the surface of what our expectations are. Is to get to the postseason, the NCAA tournament, but we got to win some games in advance and get to the College World Series. So, you know, learned a lot of patience this year, and there was no panic. And, you know, it was kind of an up and down season there in the beginning, and it could have easily taken a turn for the worse, and I could have lost the guys, you know, but our coaching staff, we all did a great job of keeping the guys together, keeping them confident, and showing up every day with excitement and willingness to play and play hard and play for each other. And I guess turned that around. So I think that's a lesson learned for everybody. You've got to stick with what you believe in and continue to work and work and work. And it'll work out at the end.
Well, people don't get to sit in the dugout with you or in the clubhouse with you or see you around the players. But I think one of the things that any coach has to have is respect from his players and a will and want to from the players to play for the coach in whatever sport it is. And you have developed that rapport with your players.
I appreciate it. It's all about the players. It's the Jimmys and the Joes. It's not the X's and O's. So, and again, all the credit goes to them. They did a great job and they continue to show up, and it's not easy. It's not easy for any of us. It's not easy for the coaches, for the staff. But at the end of the day, it's toughest on the players. They're the ones out there performing, and we're not getting it done. They're the ones not getting it done. And when they do get it done, it's all the praise has to go to them. And they did a great job this year.
All right, Friday, 3:00, Alabama, Siskar on the mound thanks so much for joining us tonight and the season. Appreciate all your help during the course of the year. Best of luck in these regionals.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.
All right, that's J.D. Arteaga with us. And that's it. That's it for the hotline for this season. Well, we'll be off in June and July. We'll come back in August, and it'll be football season. We'll have it'll be year number 24 for me on the play-by-play. 24, and it'll be 24, 27. What will it be? I've lost track. 27 straight years, and it'll be year number 37 of broadcasting University of Miami Sports. How about that? 37 when we started in August. And looking forward to it. Football team made a lot of changes. Transfer portal. They are operating in the modern era of college football, which means they come in, they go out. And putting teams together and looking to improve every year. So it'll be year number 4 for Coach Cristobal. Went from 5 to 7 to 10. And boy, oh boy, would I like to get to 11 this upcoming season. So we'll see. At any rate, thanks to Trevor Harris. He's been our producer all season long on the Hurricane Hotline. When we come back in August, the crew will be back together. We'll have Don. We'll have Josh. We'll have Dono. We'll have Rabinowitz. We'll have Monroe and Tim Reynolds. And we'll have Christy. We'll have Robert Grieper. We'll have everybody all back together. Trevor will be back with us, and we'll kick it off on August 31st against the Fighting Irish of Notre Dame. Thanks for following us all season long through football and basketball, which was a tough follow, and baseball. And now baseball goes on to the regionals. We wish them the best of luck. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Have a great summer, and we'll rejoin you in August. Stay tuned. Hockey's coming up next, Game 4 of the Western Conference Finals, Dallas and Edmonton. So long, everyone.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.